Hello, everybody. This is Martin Hazy, Lord Mayor of Adelaide, and you are listening to Adelol.
Thanks, mate. Thank you so much.
Dan, where's my wallet?
I've got to go. See you, mate. Bye.
If you want heaps good history, a little touch of mystery, with lots of hilarity, it's Adelol.
Welcome to Adelol, the Heaps Good History podcast, where in every episode
every
we explore
episode.
A story from South Australia's unique
and
often
oh.
hilarious history.
Oh.
My name's Dan. I'm a born and bred South Australian. Mm-hmm. Actually, I'm never sure if I was bred in South Australia.
Mm.
You know, my mum and dad could have done it somewhere else. So should
yeah.
probably ask them.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Well, do you really want to know the answer to that?
A little. It's my thing.
Yeah.
But
yeah, imagine if you were conceived somewhere else.
Good Lord, that would explain some things. Yeah. But anyway, I'm born and bred South Australian, been here 30 years, whereas my good mate, every episode, I tell a story to my good mate, Tom.
That's me.
About?
South Australia's very, very funny stories.
Tom moved here.
In 2003.
From the UK. And he brings a touch
yeah.
of the outsider's perspective.
I do.
We're all over the shop already on this one.
Well, in my defense, I was trying to work out when we say born and bred, does bred mean
yeah.
where you conceived or does it mean where you where you were
your formative years.
Formative years, yeah.
I would say conceived, like a breeder is a yeah.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
I always thought of it as being
never
like
thought
born,
of that.
When you say born and bred, it was like, you know, but yeah, I guess it's
yeah. There we go.
But why wouldn't you
what
put
a weird
that first?
Saying.
Why wouldn't you say bred and born?
Doesn't sound right, does it?
It doesn't sound right.
Sounds
but
like
it would
I'm
be,
getting a
it
sandwich.
Would be, yeah, that's right.
The born sandwich.
The born sandwich ultimatum.
Delicious.
Dan.
Tom.
Look, we haven't done the intro for a while, so I understand why it was a bit touch and go
there.
But
there.
You know why we haven't done the intro for a while? It's because we've kind of, we've limped along a little bit with a few giggles because we've been extremely busy. Getting stuff ready
for
the 2019 Adelaide Fringe.
Woo! Yes, that's right. We will be doing three shows
yep.
once again this
yep.
Adelaide Fringe.
Absolutely. There's 4 weeks of the Fringe this year. They've made it a little bit longer.
That's right. Which I'm so happy about.
Oh, yeah. And
there's so much to do.
Yeah. And
we can go see that guy again with the doll.
The guy that fucked the doll, yeah.
We'll see him every night.
So we're going to hold back from releasing the dates because we're still just confirming
come on.
A few things.
Come on, let's release
it. I can't remember.
The Fringe Guide comes out. The Fringe Guide comes out next week. And we will be playing all three shows at the Crown and Scepter
the
Hotel.
Crown and Scepter. Now, last year we played at the Crown and Anchor. So people need to remember, if you came to last year's shows or you heard us bigging up last year's shows, it is not the same venue.
That's right.
It's got Crown in the name.
We are not allowed back.
But no, yeah, absolutely. It's got Crown in the name, but at this time it's the Crown and Scepter, which is the venue where we did our show, our special show, free show, a couple of weeks ago, which was filmed by Channel 7.
Oh, didn't that go down well as well?
It was a really good night.
That
yeah,
was
great.
Great
fun.
Great.
And I actually play for the Crown and Scepter ice hockey team.
Do you?
There is
oh,
a Crown
so you're
and Scepter.
A kickback from
there's
our
a there's
funds.
A Crown
there
and Scepter
go.
Ice hockey team, which
go.
Has
it
been formed
out.
By our sound guy, John
there we
Michael.
Go. There we go.
And so yeah, we're going to be part of the Challenge Cup.
You better have the whole team
in February,
down
and we're being sponsored by the pub. So
all
it's
right.
a great venue,
get the whole
great
team
community
down there.
Place.
But anyway, look, we will be playing at the Crown and Scepter. That's right, the only pub in Adelaide with their own highest hockey team. I
oh
believe.
Yeah, oh yeah, big time.
On the 21st and 22nd of February.
Correct. That's a Thursday and a Friday night.
That's
I think.
Correct. And
yep.
then our final show, the 16th of March, a Saturday night. Come along, Crown
yep.
and Scepter. We're going to be plugging this all the way up until then, so
absolutely.
You'll hear plenty of it.
And same as we did last year, we've got a Thursday show, we've got a Friday show, and we've got a Saturday show. So we're catering to everybody, and the start times are
except
the hospo workers. And the start times are a little bit later, because that was
that's
the
right.
one complaint we got from people last year, was that some of the start times were a little bit early. So
that's it.
It's going to be happening, guys.
It's happening, guys. Keep an eye out on the Fringe Guide. It comes out this week. It'll
yep.
probably be out by the time this episode gets up.
Yeah, totally.
Things change, Tom, all
things
the
change.
Time.
Yeah.
Things are always changing.
Yeah, totally.
But you haven't heard, but we had the cracking intro on this episode by
yeah.
Lord Mayor, or, you know, the Lord Mayor who just left us. Martin,
former Lord Mayor, yeah.
Former Lord Mayor Martin Hazy. We thank him for his work.
And he stepped aside. He wasn't kicked out of the job.
That's exactly right. And he did a great job.
He did a fantastic
everyone
job.
Everyone you talk to did a great job. And
yeah.
look, we thank him for the sound grab there. He played along with us. He's a really good sport. Great
yep.
supporter of
yep.
history in South Australia.
Yep.
But also, I still have his wallet. So should we see what he's got in here?
Oh, yeah, sure. Good.
We have a YouthWorks gold card.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Do you remember YouthWorks?
Yeah, sort of. No. I don't remember YouthWorks.
I'll speak to you about that a bit later.
I grew up in a different place. And I'm not sure if you know that. It's the whole premise of the...
Anyway, that was a bit of a joke, which you'll get later in the episode. Right, but we welcome the new mayor of Adelaide, Sandy Vashour.
Oh, Vashour.
For sure.
I am for sure a big fan of hers.
That's exactly right. Mm-hmm. But also, Tom, some of the mayors we were backing didn't do quite so well.
Oh, dear. Mr. Paul Kitsis, give us the lowdown.
Paul Kitsis, tell you what.
Came second.
That's right.
Amazing. And you've got to assume that's at least in part because of Adelaide endorsement.
You would have to assume. Look, for your first time running, coming second.
That's pretty good.
Albeit out of three.
Yeah, but, out of three. But
didn't come last.
Yeah, that's right. And considering he didn't spell a single word in his promotional flyer correctly, how much of a spud did the other candidate have to be to come third?
I got to look up that candidate.
Yeah.
And also, unfortunately, in the city of Playford, one of the great friends of the show, Mr. Mark Aldridge.
Oh, Marky Mark.
He just didn't get up, but look, he's still doing a lot of great work for the community. Yeah,
he's off to Bali to drown his sorrows.
I'm sure he is, but good on you, Mark, if you're listening. We got to do the episode with him next year.
Oh, we so do. Oh, yeah, mate. It's on the cards.
But look, let's get to a beer of the episode. Now, this is already a long episode, but it's going to be a really long episode tonight. So strap yourselves in.
Yeah,
this totally. Might be a three-part. Well, not for us, but you guys can pause when you're getting off the bus or whatever.
Yeah,
like
totally.
But it's
going to
be a
long episode. And people deserve a nice long episode because, you know, there's been a bit of a break in the full episodes. We've been running on giggers.
That's exactly right. So, yep, look, new mayor in town, Sandy Vashour. But Tom, this episode, before we get started with that, is about the early mayors of Adelaide.
Oh, brilliant.
Yeah, so we're going to go through a couple of colourful characters. There's no Paul Kitsis-esque people up there, but we come close.
So use... We'll be quite disappointed to hear that. All yous out there who are fans of Paul Kitsis, yous will be disappointed to discover he doesn't get a mention.
Yeah, but look, we're going to try and enhance up this episode with a beer of the episode. Tom.
Yes, and this beer of the episode is from the good people at the Vale Ale Brewing Company.
Love the Vale Ale.
Yeah, down. Yeah,
I always say that as well.
Down at McLaren Vale. Now,
I thought it was Elizabeth Vale.
No. Definitely McLaren Vale. Now, hang on. Their office is at Wollunga. Okay. So, and this one is the Knee Slapper German Pilsner. So it's a slightly stronger beer, but not over the top. Refreshingly pure German Pilsner. It's Rheinhessgeburt at its best. This is a nod to the old school beer with a lingering bitterness, spicy aromas from German noble hops. And a clean, crisp malt finish.
And it's in a can. I love the cans.
Yeah, we love the can. And it's 48 IBUs. That's International Bitterness Units.
I nearly spilt the beer. Oh.
Slapping the knee.
Slapping
the
knee. Yeah, it's lovely. It's a lovely beer. They always do a good beer down there.
Yeah, they do. They do.
Shout out to them.
Decent products at the old Vale Ale.
So, Tom, we've got a new mayor in town. For sure.
Okay. But tonight... For sure we do.
We're going to look back on some of the past mayors and Lord Mayors.
Some of the really early emerging mayors.
I'm going to take it right back to the beginning, mate.
Okay.
Right back to the start. Now, look.
Let's go back to the beginning. That's a very good place to start.
Ah, yes. There was no joke from there.
No, but... it's just a reference to The Sound of Music.
Ah.
Yeah. Why not?
So, look, I'm not going to cover every single one because there's... Very, very many, but I'm just going to focus on some of the.
We get a new one every 4 years, right? Unless you get elected back to back.
Literally, back in the day, it used to be every year, which is why I was like,
"Whoa, yeah. Every year,
every year."
You can't get any traction though. Like,
you'll find out how much traction some people.
Okay,
get
all right, yeah. So a year seems like way too small amount of time to be in any kind of political office.
Yes, that's right. And get this: the first local government in Australia,
right?
Not. South Australia. Australia.
Well, because all the other states weren't allowed to govern themselves independently because
exactly
they were
right.
Convicts.
Was formed on the 31st of October, 1840.
Woo! Just 4 years after South Australia itself was founded.
That's exactly right. The first mayor was James Hurtle Fisher.
Oh, hang on. Hurtle Fisher?
Hurtle Fisher? What?
Just a funny sounding name.
James Hurtle. You've heard of Hurtle Square?
Yeah, I have.
It's named after him.
Yeah.
James, and he was also the first South Australian resident to be knighted.
To be 90?
Knighted.
Knighted. Oh, sorry. So you said he was the first South Australian resident to be 90. And I was very impressive for those days.
No, he wasn't. Okay.
His first name wasn't Ann.
But we're going to take it back to the start, even further. We're just going to take it back to, this is one of the very first episodes, which goes back into the 1700s.
Right. Wow.
James Hertel Fisher was born on the 1st of May, 1790.
Yep.
In Sunbury in Middlesex.
Oh!
Can you give me a Sunbury Middlesex accent, Tom?
Well, Midlands is just sort of, that's just Midlands, you know, just from the middle of the country. And we're in Middlesex, so don't look now.
He was a solicitor from 1816.
Oh, I'll solicit some sex.
And in 1835, he became a member of the South Australian...
I'll become a member, don't you worry about
committee.
That.
Got a great erection there.
Get out, I'm in middle of sex.
And was later selected as the resident commissioner.
Oh, that sounds like a made-up
job.
Yeah,
it's definitely
I'm the resident up. Commissioner. Commissioner of what? Just residencies.
In July 1836...
Yep.
Fisher and his family left England, upon the boarding the HMS Buffalo.
Oh, HMS Buffalo. Let's get down to Australia and start being a mayor and shit.
They arrived at Holdfast Bay.
Holdfast, we're at the bay.
The 28th of December, 1836.
Oh, fuck. Could have sped us up and got us here for Christmas.
Where the new settlement of South Australia was proclaimed alongside Governor John Hindmarsh.
Oh, Governor John.
Here's the thing, Tom. Fisher and Hindmarsh did not get along at all.
Can't stand that Hindmarsh. He's a right lippy bastard, I tell you.
Disputes between the two men over their power began before they went to board the Buffalo.
Right. When we get there, right, we're getting on to Buffalo. Right. Listen to my plan, right? Obviously, lots of travel between here and when we get there, right? Now, just so you're aware, I'm a sex maniac. I come from Middlesex. I can't keep my hands off the ladies, all right? My wife knows I've got a problem. We're trying to work through it. We're trying to deal with it. Right, so if you've got a problem with that, you better tell me now, because when it comes to exerting power, you know, I can't guarantee that I won't be have a roving eye, all right? So, you know, if you've got any women with you, keep them locked up, all right?
God.
All right, Johnny boy? Because that's just how I roll. If you got a problem with that, you can fuck right off.
So Fisher legit drew up his plans for the city.
Right, this is what it's going to look like when we get there. Right?
Even without informing Hindmarsh.
Okay, this is the plan, right? We have two suburbs at the bottom, sort of like circular-like, and then we'll have roads that go up down the middle, and then we'll have this sort of big bulbous suburb at the top. Admittedly, it is a bit phallic, but that's just how I roll. If you don't like it, you can sod right off. Well, let's have a look at your design then. You think it's all good?
So,
oh, yeah, okay, 20-minute city. Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, that's reasonable. That's actually quite a good idea.
When Hindmarsh found out, a huge fight arose over the site of the city, which Hindmarsh initially wanted to move closer to Port Adelaide.
Why not? Looks like a nice area. I mean, no, I'm against that.
Yeah, that's right.
Sorry, wrong fella. Right, we're not doing that. It's a shithole. Port Misery, get rid of it.
They disagreed with each other over anything and everything purely because they just hated each other. Even if it was a good idea, the other one just would not admit.
Yeah, got no time for Hindmarsh. Thinks he's a big man.
It got so bad that in February 1837, the Magistrate Court...
We've only been here 1 year.
No, it was like a couple of months.
Oh, not even a year.
The Residence Magistrate Court bound the two to keep the peace towards each other and just stay away from each other because they were that bad.
Basically been told, don't go near each other.
So yeah, this is how LGAs work. The first one.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's like when you've got, you know, two kids, like 2 8-year-old kids that just, you know, are more trouble than it's worth to have them in the classroom near each other. So you basically like separate them and tell them, just go and play with different people. Just don't be friends with them because it's just too much trouble.
In March 1838, Governor Hindmarsh was recalled to London.
Right, fuck off. You've been recalled. I bet you it wasn't recalled at all.
Fake letter.
Johnny. So I know I'm not supposed to spend any time with you, but I got a telegram, mate. Is that, what's a telegram? Oh, yeah, that's not been invented yet. I got a letter. apparently you're needed back in London. So yeah, 6 month round trip. So you better get going. And obviously, we'll the plans for the city, we'll do them exactly like you said. There won't be any sort of variation to the original idea. It will be, you know, we'll carry it out to the letter.
I have a plan for the monument on Rundle Street, though, the thing right in the middle.
Oh, yeah, I'm thinking sort of two round spherical objects. You'll see when you get back. You'll see when you get back. It's gonna be magnificent.
I'll flick you an email.
I'll send an email.
He was mayor for... Oh, sorry, blah, blah, blah. And in 1840, Fisher was elected the inaugural mayor of Adelaide.
Right, Johnny's gone. I'm the daddy now. It's like, I don't know if you've seen the movie Scum with Ray Winston, I'm the daddy now, and anyone gives me lip, you'll be for it.
I'm glad we didn't air Martin Hazy's voice, like, in case he was running for election again. Just totally would have hurt his chances.
No, to be honest, I'd probably get more votes.
Oh, well, Paul Kitsis still.
Well, absolutely. That's yeah. It. Aaron Dorsman is what got him that second spot.
That's exactly right. So he was mayor for 2 years, and Hurtle Square in the city is named after him.
Originally, I want to call it Squirtle Hare.
He's a big Pokemon fan.
Big Pokemon fan. Big Pokemon Go fan. And so, you know, there's sort of implications, connotations to the Squirtle name. But people said it was too childish, and I had to call it Hurtle Square instead. So, you know, people say I don't compromise. I compromise. I'm open to compromise. Tell that
people.
To John when he comes back.
The next mayor was Thomas Wilson.
Oh.
Born in England, but educated in Germany. Now, he also was technically a solicitor, but seemed to spend most of his time doing relatively worthless and incredibly expensive things.
Ah, right.
Sounds like a great politician.
So he'll basically work for free, just, you know, wasting time and money rather than actually doing his applying his trade as a solicitor.
For example.
That's why they call me Free Willy. I come help you with any project, no matter how ridiculous, and I don't even charge you. Free Willies, that's my name.
For example, he randomly purchased a 3,000-acre site in Wales.
Why not?
And landscaped the whole thing himself at his own expense.
Yep.
Including creating a lake to power his sawmill.
Why not?
Then, in 1836, he anonymously published a descriptive catalogue of the prints of Rembrandt.
Right.
It wasn't an art critic or anything like that, by the way.
No, I just do it for fun. Pictures. I do it for fun. It's no problem. I have interests outside of being a solicitor. In fact, I've not spent a day in the office in the last 4 years.
And then for some completely unknown reason.
I'm working on some personal projects at the moment.
For some completely unknown reason, soon after that book, he ran into some financial difficulty.
Yeah, and I'm no longer Free Willy. My wife says I have to start charging for my services.
He decided to emigrate to Australia, arrived in Adelaide in July 1838, and soon built an extensive and highly respectable practice of the law firm Smart and Wilson.
Yeah, for Smart and Wilson, yeah. Firstly, they're smart. And secondly, people say, are you going to win? And I say, yeah, we will, son. So the name covers all bases, you know?
So, look, he only stayed in the position for a year before he went to waste more money.
Yeah, I've made a bit of cash. I do 12 months of work and then I blow it all on the pokies. Why not? It's my life. I do what I want.
Then the position went back to Fisher for a bit.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, there you go.
Right, I'm back into mayor's job. Right. You've had enough of Free Willy. Fuck him right off. He's useless. He's come over here. He's just building parks. He's wasting cash. You know, that's wasting money on frivolous crap that we don't need. That's not something that's going to continue to be a trend in this state. I can tell you that. You know, there'll be no expensive and over the top elaborate building and construction projects that later have to be torn up and redone while I'm in charge. And it won't be a trend that will continue. I can tell you that.
Definitely not. So Fisher was mayor until 1854, when Adelaide's third Lord Mayor, Joseph Hall, steps in.
Oh, right.
Undoubtedly the loosest mayor Adelaide has ever had.
Oh.
Here we go, mate. This is like the main part of the story is about Joseph Hall.
Yep.
So. Joseph Hall migrated from England to South Australia.
Do you know which part of England?
No, I'm going to say from what I could gather... Let's just say Birmingham.
Birmingham? Yeah, from Birmingham. Yeah.
Actually, I don't like that one. What's a... Like a Surrey kind of accent.
Surrey?
Yeah. Fuck.
That's a bit challenging.
Where's a good accent?
One I don't get to do very often is a London accent. Yeah?
Oh, he was a London accent.
He's a London boy, yeah?
Look, he probably would have been, because he migrated around 1841, and he was a sharebroker.
Oh, mate.
So I'm sure you're living in London if you're a sharebroker.
Yeah, that's right. No, share the laughter, share the love, you know what I mean? Sort of like London geezer. And, you know, obviously, last name's Hall. A lot of people know me as Bugger Hall, because, you know... what have I done in my life? Bugger all. But you know, give me the opportunity, and I'll be a rinsing geezer. I'll show you a good time.
Oh God! Well, he was a sharebroker who liked a bit of a drink.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so get on the bevvies. Yeah, I don't mind. Go down the old battle cruiser. That's Cockney Rhyming slang for boozer, or you know, the old nuclear sub. That's the Cockney Rhyming slang for pub.
Why is it longer?
It's Cockney Rhyming slang makes no sense. Okay. None of it makes any sense. Okay. So it's always longer. It's like. Dead horse sauce.
Bunts.
Yeah, what sort of bunts are we talking? Yeah, what sort of money are we talking? And I say, yeah, I'll get on the old, get on the booze. And I heard there's a bloke living in this colony, like Thomas Cooper or something like that. I think the fella's name is. A lot of dead kids, but blimey, he brews a good beverage, I'll tell you that. Someone needs to put a brewery down at that McLaren Vale place. Yeah, I bet they could get some nice hops down there. Well, probably won't happen in my lifetime, but we'll see.
Willunga, I hardly know her.
Oh, Willunga, I hardly know her. Yeah, nice.
That worked pretty well.
Yeah, it's good.
Oh, God. But he was very well known for his strange and unpredictable behaviours.
Oh, wild.
One recorded incident.
Oh, you get a load of this.
Of his unpredictable behaviour involved Mr. Hall running through the northern parklands in just a shirt.
Why not? So, look, this is the concept behind that, yeah? People always talk about going topless. What about going bottomless? Do you know what I mean? So, I had a shirt on, knob out. Why not? Don't play by the rules. Don't, you know, unpredictability is what you get when you vote for
Joseph Hall.
For Joe Hall, otherwise known as Bugger All.
So,
what was I wearing from the waist down? Bugger All. And that was my message to the voters. Do you know what I mean? You know? Knob when the ballots when you're in the ballot box, you know, you're thinking of my knob, and that's going to help you put the cross in the right spot next to my name. Boom.
Oh God! Unfortunately,
I'm the original populist.
His wacky behaviour would eventually lead to his death.
Well, you say that, but you know, wouldn't happen to me because I'm like lightning. You know what I mean? I'm too quick. They won't catch me.
In 1857. Joseph Hall was going through marriage difficulties and separated from his wife.
Admittedly, I have had some troubles with the missus.
After which, he was drinking heavily.
I've had a few, won't lie.
One night, on the February 10th, 1857, Mr. Hall was on the balcony of his friend's house on Commode Street.
Was he still mayor at this point?
Yes. So,
so he died in office.
Yeah, just wait for this. So he was, you know, Commode Street, it's, you know, the Women's and Children's Hospital, like the emergency part, just going up sort of kind of towards Adelaide Oval.
Yeah.
I couldn't actually figure out what building it was, but I drove up there the other day and I'm like, if I had to guess, it would be this old building with a balcony.
Yeah. It's the one with the chalk line, the chalk mark on the pavement in front of the.
That's exactly right.
Well, look, so someone's got to come along and clean it up. But I think the problem is the you know, the state skint. Do you know what I mean? We've got to save that money because we want to get a right-hand turn on the tram extension. So no one's going to come clean up the chalk marks. You know what I'm saying?
And plus, the pageant's just been. Looks like the kids have drawn it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, it's a bit
That's
fun.
How it all started.
Yeah.
That was with me.
Yeah, mate, hopscotch. Where do you think that game came from? You know what I mean? Like...
So he was late one night, February 10th, 1857. He was on the balcony of his friend's house at Commode Street, under which a large crowd of onlookers had gathered to see what the mayor was doing.
Yeah, and they were all saying, jump, jump. And I was like, you know what? Give the people what they want.
Joseph
Hall. That's the essence of democracy, isn't it?
Was dressed.
So I got my knob out. Turns out that's not what they wanted. They wanted me to jump.
He was dressed in his nightshirt.
No pants.
He had trousers.
They know how I roll.
He had trousers on this time.
I had trousers on to begin with, but, you know, they were coming off, weren't they?
Boots and a hat. He was running backwards and forwards along the balcony, accusing the crowd below of conspiring to kill him.
Well, I was right in a way, wasn't I?
A man bought a ladder to the balcony and tried to bring Joseph Hall down.
Yeah.
Joseph seemed pretty cool with it at first, and then he just flipped out.
Yeah, I was. But firstly, I saw the ladder, and I thought, yeah, you know, he's all right. But then I thought, no, mate, step off.
Not very good. So then, like, he, like, kind of freaked out, running back and forth along the balcony. And he...
Admittedly, I had quite a lot to drink and also some hard drugs.
And he jumped off the balcony.
So I don't need a ladder. I'll show you, look, you know, if you want to go from A to B, quickest point is a straight line, mate. So I'm not climbing down the ladder when I can just go off the balcony. And, you know, the trick is when you hit the ground, just roll.
Well, he did land on his feet and then just start running around in circles while shouting for someone to take him home.
Okay, yeah. No, admittedly, I was, you know, I've been on it for a few days at that point, yeah.
He was eventually escorted by police to North Adelaide Police Station.
I tried to explain to him, I'm the Lord Mayor, I pay your salary, which someone pointed out to me that that's not actually where the money comes from for South Australian Police Force. But I didn't know that because I ran on a platform of lower Centrelink payments. So
I also, you know, ran on the platform of a balcony.
Yeah, I ran on a platform of a balcony, but I also ran on a platform of better Centrelink payments because, you know, apparently, you can just say anything in a fucking mayoral election. He don't have to doesn't have to relate to reality at all.
So he goes to the North Adelaide Police Station. After a few hours in the local cells, Hall became violently and uncontrollably ill.
I can probably explain that.
What's that?
I'd had a lot to drink.
Thought it was going to be something funny.
No, I had a lot to drink and also hard drugs, as I mentioned earlier.
Doctors were called, but it was too late for Joseph Hall, who passed away, quote, in a state of madness.
What?
Now, here's what had happened. After his marriage breakup, he drank heavily for a couple of months.
Yeah, yeah. As you do.
And then stopped drinking very suddenly.
Right.
Had withdrawals, which led to delirium tremens, right, which is a rapid onset of confusion caused by the withdrawal of alcohol.
It's almost
like reading about this. I'm like, oh, it's basically like psychosis in a way.
Yeah.
You have like these false delusions and things like that. So he thought all these people were trying to kill him when in fact they were just trying to help
That's why when people are withdrawing from heavy alcohol use, they will give them things like Valium. Mm. So if you take someone in the hospital and you're putting them into rehab, when you're rehabbing them, rather than just taking them off the alcohol completely straight away, they will give them, like different benzodiazepines like Valium and stuff like that, because it works on the same GABA receptors in your brain which control and regulate.
I have heard like alcohol is the only thing you cannot just go cold turkey with if you've been a very heavy drinker.
Yeah,
like it will kill you. I think that's what Amy Winehouse died from.
Oh really? I thought it was drug overdose.
I don't know, maybe. That's what I heard.
Yeah,
but anyway. Had a rapid withdrawal from alcohol.
Once in my life, I hadn't been drinking, you know. So, again, don't play by the rules. People were like, oh, he's drunk. Actually, I wasn't. So, joke's on you. Didn't see that coming, did you?
Sometimes he's still referred to this day as the forgotten mayor because, sadly, Joseph Hall is the only South Australian mayor not to have his portrait displayed in Adelaide Town Hall.
Oh,
at least they named the place after it.
Yeah, people go and then they say, have you got all the portraits? Have you got any portraits of Joseph Hall? And they said, no, we've got bugger all. And that's where we get the term.
Tom, at least they named the building after him.
What's the
Town
building?
Hall.
Oh, Town Hall. Yeah, there we go.
It's a joke.
Yeah, that's good. I like that. That's good.
Thank you. So, a quote from the great Joseph Hall, the greatest mayor of all time, probably.
Yep.
I should do the voice.
Yeah, you gotta do the voice.
A reputation once broken may possibly be repaired, but the world will always keep their eyes on the spot where the crack was.
Oh, that's quite profound.
And the crack was in my pocket.
I'd gone to Murray Bridge that day and sort of scored myself a good one. So they thought it was alcohol withdrawal. No, it was actually liver. It was actually toxicity from bit too much of the old glass pipe.
Joseph Hall's dead. They need a new mayor from one of the other councillors. Next mayor was John Lazar.
I thought you were going to say Fisher's back on it.
Nah, Fisher's out.
He's like, right, I'll do it. Right, is he dead, is he? Oh, that's unfortunate. Right, I didn't push him. Can I get my job back? It's like, no, it doesn't work like that. We've got to have another election. Bugger off, we have another election. What are you talking about? Right, did Hindmarsh put you up to this? I don't trust him. I've never trusted him. He's either one that said we have to have bloody elections. What a bloody joke.
Oh, God. So the next mayor was John Lazar. Born in Edinburgh.
Yeah, He's from Edinburgh. He says, I'm John Lazar.
He was a very successful Jewish actor. So it's the first one in the arts.
He's the first, yeah, first Jewish actor in the arts.
No, not the first Jewish, but the first, like, mayor to, yeah, arts mayor.
It yeah, that was a joke. Obviously, there's lots of famous Jewish actors. That was my attempt at humour.
He had 7 kids. 3 of them died on the way to Australia.
All them done.
3 of them died on the way to Australia.
It's not something to be laughed at, but...
Became very involved in the Jewish community. Was Shalom. Mayor of Adelaide from 1855 to 1858 with no real controversy.
Oh, didn't eat a bacon sandwich or just didn't get caught doing anything they shouldn't have done.
Unlike the next mayor.
Okay.
William Sabin.
Oh.
Was Adelaide's first town clerk and was mayor from 1858 to 1859. December 1858 to January 1859.
They had 2 runs at it.
No, he was mayor from, listen to this, December 1858 to January 1859.
1 month.
He was mayor for 1 month. So here's how it goes. 1858, the John Lazar's position.
Yep.
He gets elected by his fellow councillors, narrowly beating Lazar, who was very popular and had no controversies.
Yep.
A few weeks later, a few allegations were brought against him.
Lazar or the new guy?
Produced by... No.
Fisher. I don't trust him. He's no good. Right. Get him out of there.
So the new guy, Sabin, another Lazar, Alderman Lazar, same guy. So obviously a brother or a mate.
Yeah. Like. Someone. I mean, it's South Australia, so, you know. There's only about 14 people living in the state at this time.
But anyway, turns out the new bloke, Sabin, had recently forged a document.
Which made him mayor. So I've got this piece of paper that says I'm now mayor.
I thought we were meant to have elections.
No. It's got High Marsh's signature on it. What? Let me have a look at that, you bastard. Right. I'm Fisher.
I love how you're almost schizophrenic at this point.
Fisher. Yeah, well, you know, I'm inspired by Bugger Hall's demise. Bugger Hall, John Hall's demise. Right, let me have a look at that. Oh shit, yeah, it's got High Marsh's signature on it. It's probably not a forgery.
So
better let it slide.
There was a forged document. He was for a bank loan, so a forged document to get money. Oh, yeah.
Please pay the bearer. $117 million. Is this for some sort of tram extension or something like that?
Oh, God. He was found guilty in March 1859.
Took 100 years, 101 years to get justice.
It's a slow court process in South Australia. Still a remand to this day.
Yeah, still a remand. Still waiting for the money to filter through. They put cash aside for tram extensions, but there's bugger all for sorting out the court system.
He was sentenced to 6 years hard labour, which...
Just for forging a document.
It was considered very severe for the time.
Okay, yeah, but that's the thing that's remarkable is that steal a loaf of bread, you'll hang.
Yeah, that's it.
Forge a document, yeah, you know, slap on the wrist.
Well, he actually did get out less than 2 years later in November 1861.
Yep.
Upon release, he moved to Kapunda.
Oh, Kapunda.
Where he was later sued by the town reverend for...
forging a document?
He sued him for £100
right
on the basis of slanderous statements he made regarding his relationship with a female servant.
Oh, female servant.
So Sabin's clearly said, like, the reverend's having it on with this nun or
which he probably was.
Lady.
Yeah.
Wellunga. I hardly know her.
Yeah, mate.
Kapunda.
Kapunda. Well, maybe I know her more than you think I do.
Kapunda. His lawyer persuaded Sabin to settle out of court, and he ended up having to pay $25 and saying sorry, apparently, according to the papers, very reluctantly did so. He's like, but he's shagging her. What are you on about?
His lawyer's like, don't keep saying it.
Shut the fuck up, Sabin. You already did 2 years' time. He's got a teardrop tattoo on his neck. FTP on his neck.
The teardrop tattoo is supposed to show that
you've killed someone. Yeah.
You've killed someone? Okay. Yeah. Does it always...
I think so. Okay. I think it's pretty well accepted that that's what it is.
All right, okay.
FTP is fuck the police.
Okay, why am I fuck the police?
Funny story. Getting off track.
Can you get the number plate FTP?
You can actually. I think I've seen it. But
oh, really? That's just asking to get pulled over.
I used to work at the recycling depot.
I'll tell you a story about a hilarious number plate that I once saw.
Classic. We used to work at a recycling depot. We've done a story on it.
Yeah.
And in that job, we used to get a lot of my boss liked not paying people any more than he had to.
Yeah.
So he liked getting people who were recently released from prison.
Right.
And then, because the prison or state services or whatever would pay half their wage up until 6 months.
Right.
And then when it got to 6 months, my boss was like, yeah, fuck off. Yeah.
Get rid of it. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and it was like the most dead shit of dead shit.
Hey, was
like,
was it Kevin? No.
Wayne.
Wayne, that's Wayne, it. Wayne, yeah. Wayne.
So when I started, we had this bloke.
He's the guy that like came out and was sifting through bottles and cans. And then all of a sudden was like, I'm not wearing a shirt. Dan, why didn't you tell me I wasn't wearing a shirt? And you're like, well, it's not my job to tell you to put a fucking shirt on, mate. And he's like, oh, I've been serving customers without a shirt on. That guy?
That's exactly the
Wayne-o.
Guy.
Wayno.
And that is just how he was.
Wayne in the membrane.
So where am I up to? Oh, no, I'm telling my stories.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll get back a minute. So we had this guy and he had FTP like tattooed on his knuckles.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, yeah, is that?
But you've got four knuckles, so what do you do with the spare knuckle?
Full stop.
Full stop, okay. Exclamation mark.
Really fuck the police. He had FTP like tattooed on his knuckles.
Yeah.
And I'm like talking to him, I'm like, oh, FTP, fuck the police, yeah? He's like, oh, yeah, but I used to be in a gang and our initials were FTP. I'm like, okay, what's
the gang called?
This is going to be great.
Findon, the Findon trolley... pushers. The Findon trolley pushers. Yeah, our big thing was not graffiti, not drugs. We would steal trolleys from Coles and we would take them up to Port Augusta and push them into the water.
No, he was a trolley pusher, like the, you know, trolley boy guy.
Yeah, yeah.
And he got the tattoo, and because it was part of his job, he could claim it on tax. FTP, I'm like, oh yeah, fuck the police. He's like, yeah, fuck the police. But also the gang I was in.
Yeah, yeah.
The hardcore graffiti gang.
Yeah, graffiti gang.
Tell me more.
Tell me more.
Jay. I'll call him Jay. Jay.
If someone was an amazing employee, would Wayno keep him on? Or was
he kept me on for like 10 years.
No, I meant like, after the 6 months. Yeah, so hang on, probably, is this your confession? Is this where you tell us how you got the job?
No, basically he would, if you weren't a dead shit, like,
yeah,
I don't think anyone made it through the prison system because they'd just be like either taking drugs at work or like just doing drug runs while on the job.
Or you'd be like, he's going to fuck you off in 6 months. So can you go and get a score of some weed to get us through this shift?
So anyway, he's like, hardcore graffiti gang. I was in FTP. Oh, FTP. Tell me more. Tell me more, Jay.
FTP.
He's like, I was up in Queensland. Yeah,
Queensland.
We were called the felt tip pens because we graffitied with felt tip pens.
Fuck, it's such a bullshit story.
That's true. Honest to God,
no, no, no. His story is bullshit. It's like you can tell that he was like, I'm ashamed that I wrote fuck the police on my knuckles. So now I have to come up with a story to make people think that that's not why I wrote FTP my knuckles. It's like, oh no, we was the felt tip pen club.
Yeah, that's right.
It reminds me of that thing when you say, do you want to be in our pen club? I'm pen 13, Dan's pen 14, but you can be pen 15. And then
great.
And someone will be like, yeah, and then you just write penis on their hand.
I'll get tattooed on my knuckles, pen 15.
Get tattooed on their knuckles.
Okay, your story time, go. We're already off track, let's do this. FTP.
My story is simple. I once saw a number plate, IH, the number 8, COP5.
Oh, wow. Where? In South Australia?
Yeah, South Australia.
I can't believe that got through.
Yeah. Well, but you can just order it on the website. You just go onto the...
They have a person who checks them. But yeah, clearly that person is on the prison release system. He doesn't do very well.
But how did they get FT? You said you'd seen FTP before, though.
Yeah, like on a standard number plate, I reckon. Like, one of the old ones.
Okay, yeah. But there's some loose number plates out there. If you follow shit Adelaide, you'll see some loose number plates.
You see them all.
But a lot of them, I'm like, how did that get through?
Yeah, like that I'm very surprised. But yeah, you would be getting pulled over 24/7.
Pretty good, though.
Had to, out of court apology. Next mayor was Edmund Wright, an architect.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Edmund Rice, the guy that runs the Catholic children's camps.
familiar.
It's a very obscure reference.
Is he a
No.
Oh.
No. Like on that.
How
like,
did you assume I was going to say? Just because he was Catholic and yeah.
No, because you said Edmund and then okay, go on.
Okay, go on.
Edmund Wright, not Edmund Rice.
Edmund Wright was an architect. Now you've heard the name.
Yep.
Incorrectly, but Wright was Wright Street. Edmund Wright House on King William Street, in the city, right across from Town Hall.
Right across. Okay.
That's why they called it that. So nice. They named it twice.
Yep.
Not much to say about his time as mayor.
Boring.
Only had 1 year.
But, didn't jump off a balcony. Didn't get an offensive tattoo or a suspicious number plate.
Designed the Bank of South Australia building on King William, now Edmund Wright House.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
The GPO, West Wing of Parliament House. Whole bunch of others.
That's now a Good Life gym, I think.
No, you're thinking of the wrong building. That's further down.
Yeah, okay. All right.
We'll go in there one day. It's a nice building.
Because it's not a bank. Is it still a bank, say?
No.
Yeah, because it was. I remember when I first moved here, going in there, and when it was a bank, like, this is an impressive building. It looks like an actual bank.
Never ran through the Parklands without any trousers, as far unfortunate. As I could read.
So just designed some architecture and...
Yep. Next guy was Edward Glanfield.
Oh!
Not much to say. However, business attorney business fortune forced him to resign as mayor.
Oh, no.
So, I don't know. He became poor and couldn't be mayor anymore. I don't get it.
there you go, Kitsis. That's what happened, mate.
Pretty much.
If you could get those Centrelink payments bumped up, then you'd be more likely to get elected.
That's it, right. Yeah. Interesting tidbit, died as a result of an infected foot.
Jumping off a balcony.
Yeah, an infected foot and a fractured vertebrae. But, yeah. it was mainly the foot.
Yeah, also alcohol withdrawals. It's a very common issue in the mid-19th
also
century.
Overdose.
Yeah,
And then ran over by the tram.
Yeah, that's right. Turning right when it shouldn't have been.
He had an injury from a nail going through his boot. And he died as a result.
How?
I don't know. People were.
He was getting the boot repaired, and he was like, "I refuse to take it off." And the cobbler's like, "That's you do know how shoe repair works, right?" He's like, "No, fuck you. I want it fixed, and I want it done now. And I'm gonna sit here and read the paper." It's like, "All right."
Good. Then next one was another unremarkable mayor, Thomas English.
Oh,
nothing remarkable.
Hang on.
That's
me, Thomas English.
Hello.
My name's Thomas and I'm English.
Although he did design the Kent Town Brewery on the corner of Decatville and Rundle.
There was a brewery on the corner of Decatville and Rundle?
It's still there, mate. It's the apartments now, but that used to be the West End Brewery.
Oh,
no,
really?
Wait, no, it didn't, because that's in the East End. It used to be a brewery. It used to be like the Adelaide Brewery or something. I don't know. She probably knows history.
We should find out what the...
We should go.
We should find out what was brewed there and see if we can...
It doesn't exist anymore.
Well, no, obviously it doesn't exist anymore, but maybe we can get one of the local breweries to do a tribute.
We keep dropping these hints. No one's doing it yet. We just have to go to... I think... Little Bang are our strongest allies.
And they're based in the East.
And in a can. Do it. This paint tastes terrible.
Yeah. Big shout out to Paint Supplies for doing the Anna Cannon. But maybe even just an Adelol signature beer.
Let's do it. So another unremarkable mayor, Samuel Good. Then council goes, okay, he
was pretty good.
Let's get someone who's going to do some good shit.
What not? Samuel Good, no good?
No good. Enter William Townsend.
Oh.
Mayor of Adelaide from 1864 to 1866.
Willie Townsend.
William was born...
was
born in the London borough of Southwark. So another
Shine
Londoner.
A shoe, governor.
His wife and child arrived in South Australia 1853. His wife died soon after he arrived, and then he quickly remarried.
Not right.
He found work.
Right, she's gone. She's no good. Right, who's next?
He found work quickly as a boots.
Right, what's your name? Anne. Nah, no good. Next one. Strict criteria for finding a wife.
He found work quickly as a boot salesman.
No nails in these boots, don't worry.
Half price for the one.
I had nothing to do with the death of the former mayor. Fisher's like, what? What are you talking about? I weren't part of no conspiracy. Right. Admittedly, we have lost a few along the way, and I have fallen out with Imarsh on a few occasions, but at no point was a dodgy boot sold to the previous mayor.
So I found out he was such a good salesman that someone's like, hey, you should give like public talks because you're good at speaking and people listen to you and buy your boots and shit.
That's how we got into it.
So then he became a popular lecturer. And then they say, well, that led him to becoming involved in council.
Because you could become a popular lecturer in those days because there was no television or radio. So like people would go out to the park and listen to someone prattle on for an hour.
That's exactly right.
It's basically what people do now with podcasts on their way to work.
Yeah, that's us. Also, turned out to be the nicest guy. Formed like all these great things. He had an ambition to establish a blind asylum for the City of Adelaide children.
Okay.
Founded the South Australian Institution for Blind, Dumb and Deaf Kids, which still operates to this day under the name Can Do for Kids. So probably
how would they know
that?
How would they know though? It's like, don't you appreciate, like, how do you feel about all the wonderful work that this man's done for you? All right, you don't have to be fucking rude.
Oh, God.
No, but seriously, how would they know?
I can see the letters coming already. I can see the braille coming already.
How would the braille complaints? I'm not concerned about any deaf people not liking our podcast, because how are they going to know?
One star review. Couldn't hear a thing.
Someone going to seriously post a transcript? You know, because we have received some grumpy emails from people, you know, saying, don't talk about this, don't talk about that.
That's exactly
right.
Don't
say anything controversial about this. And it's like, but I'm not concerned about pissing off deaf people. Because it's primarily a sound-based medium. And even if there was a transcript, the blind, deaf, dumb kids aren't going to read it, are they?
Like, how do I listen to an English accent? God. Next bloke didn't do much. William Allott. Then we had.
Oh, he did. So you're saying he didn't do much.
His name was William Allott.
So how much have you achieved in your time as mayor? Yeah, not much.
Oh wait, hang on. Sorry, I missed a bloke, and this bloke's pretty funny.
So this is not a lot.
No,
this guy had done not a lot.
Oh, this guy's done Fuller.
Oh, okay.
He's another businessman. Henry Robert Fuller.
Oh.
Look, had a bit of a Paul Kitsis vibe about him, to be honest with you.
He was fuller contributions to South Australia, unlike the other guy who didn't do a lot.
He had a bit of a Paul Kitsis vibe.
Okay.
Look, he meant well.
He was looking out for yous.
But
he was out for
he
yous.
He often tried to take control of issues over which he had no jurisdiction.
Oh, my
whatsoever.
God. It's just Fisher in a wig. It's Fisher in a wig with a moustache. Right, turns out I'm not eligible to be mayor, and also I probably died about 10 years ago. But I've got this wig, I've got this moustache, and I'm going to change my name. And I'm thinking, what's a name that sends a message of power and control and deliverance and deliberation? And I'm thinking Trump. I'm thinking my name's going to be Mr. Trump.
Okay.
Somebody pointed out that was already taken, so I've gone for Fuller, because I'm thinking... You know, everyone likes a Fuller.
Oh, wait. Sorry, I've got the wrong guy's name. So Fuller did not march.
Right, not Fuller.
Judah Moss Solomon.
Solomon, right? Because these days, it's all about political correctness, right? So they're more likely to elect someone who's got a fruity, foreign-sounding name. So I've gone for Judah Solomon.
Judah Solomon.
Not a Judas.
No.
But not King Solomon.
Mm.
So, yeah.
Mixing it up.
For the Bible readers out there.
So he liked to discuss issues over which he had no control.
Oh, look, you know, I can reduce payments. The Centrelink payments. Increase the Centrelink payments.
I can enhance up the local area.
I can reduce and increase, because words don't mean anything when it comes to my written communication. So increase, decrease, whatever you like.
Greens are our filters.
Greens are our filters. And use... are going to want to elect me.
One of which, he was obsessed with solving the issue of how meat becomes diseased.
What?
I don't know. There's all these articles about him, like, but it's like council meeting minutes, and he's like, I wonder how, like, meat goes on.
We should solve this mystery. Also, we know how meat goes off. They had like germ theory of disease at this point. They understood. Oh, did they? What? When was this? What year was this?
It's in the 1800s sometimes.
So okay, late 1800s though?
Yeah, no, mid 1800s.
Oh, okay, yeah, maybe they didn't then.
Maybe.
Maybe they
no,
didn't.
No, late 1800s, sorry. Yeah, 1860s, I think.
Okay, no, they wouldn't then.
So,
he
yeah.
would have, he would have
but
been...
But he then... I read a few things. He's like, oh, well, diseased meat is being sold by vendors in the Adelaide Council District. So that's why we need to get to how meat becomes diseased.
Okay.
So he's clutching at straws.
So Louis Pasteur figured out germ theory of disease or pasteurization in the 1860s. So by 1876, it was an established theory. So... He was.
Solomon was on point.
He was asking the questions, but he did not have the answers.
he was working for the wrong place.
Yeah.
Next guy didn't do much. Adolf Bartels. Then we had William Allott, a pharmacist.
Oh yeah, he didn't do a lot.
John Colton, who later went on to become premier.
Oh.
William Peacock.
Oh yeah, I haven't heard good things about him.
Funny name. Dying from heat stroke was his highlight.
Dies from heat stroke. How do you die from heat stroke?
I don't know. Just too hot.
Right. I fell asleep with my electric blanket on. I'm dead now.
Then we had Henry Scott, William Buick, and then comes Edwin Thomas Smith.
Oh. ETS.
Formed the
Got ETS on my knuckles.
Eat that
got
shit.
FTP on got FTP on one hand and ETS on the other, because there was another gang that I was in.
What's that?
Exquisite telemarketers service. Not only were we graffitiing with felt tip pens, but we were also calling people at inconvenient times and offering to extend their long distance phone service.
Oh God. Now, Edward and Thomas Smith formed the South Australian Brewing Company.
Oh, good on you.
Look, did a lot of great work for the zoo, botanic gardens, children's
anyone that's a lot of these people are in the beer industry, and anyone that's producing beer
just a champ.
Is doing great stuff for
and you know,
the state.
He died on Christmas Day 1919.
Oh, it's unfortunate.
When the Norwood Football Club decided in December 2005 to set up a Hall of Fame, Smith was appointed as a non-playing inaugural member.
Oh, that's great.
Saying he was the greatest patron of the club from the day it opened till the day
he died.
You'd
be a fan then, Dan.
Oh, great fan of the Norwood Footy Club.
Yeah, mate.
How'd you go? Shut the fuck up. The Sir Edwin Cheaters. By the way, that's so coming out of that. The Sir Edwin Smith Stand at Adelaide Oval is still there and was named on his honour in 1922. It's
yeah,
still there. So
and it's
there
still
go.
There, yeah. It absolutely is.
Interesting tidbit. What?
I heard today.
Oh, yeah, here we go.
I heard today that they're adding a hotel to the outside
bit.
Yeah,
that's going
to
be bullshit. They won't do that.
Why do that? It's a really good, amazing world class. It's great.
Yeah.
Everyone was like, I don't want them to redo the Oval. And they did such a good job. Don't fuck with it now.
No, just don't touch it anymore. On his death, his home was donated. His home was on the corner of Port Rush and Kensington Road.
Mm-hmm.
Is now Loretto College. That's his home.
Oh,
there you go.
Yeah.
Couple of more. Okay, we'll wrap this up.
Good school.
More guys
good school, Loretto. Got a few friends that went there.
There you go. A couple of more people didn't do too much, but then it comes time for a scandal.
Yep.
In 1894, when Charles Tucker becomes mayor.
Ah. Now, tuck in. That was his campaign slogan.
Yeah, he was the first one with like a catchy slogan.
Yeah, catchy.
Tuck
that,
in to Tucker.
That, yeah, was it Charles?
Charles Tucker.
Yeah. All right, Charles Tucker, remember the name?
No, he was born in Walkerville.
Tuckin. Oh.
He was the first local, like true local
Charles
mayor.
Tucker, mate, remember the name and tuck in, cunt.
He was the mayor of Port Adelaide first.
Oh, yeah.
Which made sense because he was in the shipping business.
I didn't wonder what you were going to say.
Which made sense because I had no teeth.
You were going to say, like, he was the mayor of Port Adelaide, which made sense because he was in the shit. And I thought that was going to be it. Like, okay.
He was in the shipping business.
Shipping business, yep.
He was the talk of town for many years.
Oh.
I'm just going to read you an excerpt.
An excerpt. An expert excerpt.
I'm just going to read you a bit of the paper, The Sun.
As in the British Sun.
Nah, it's the Australian one. We had 1,000 papers. Tucker is a man of about 50 years of age. He is slim, tall, and sallow.
Hang on. Is this a classifieds ad or
written by Tucker himself?
is this a news article or a classified?
Man.
Yeah.
See, tuck into him.
Tall, slim, 50-year-old male seeks elderly BBW for.
He's tall, slim, sallow, wears a heavy dark moustache, and is always well-groomed and very well-dressed. He is a tailor's dummy style of beauty and has achieved notoriety as a successful lady killer. I hope they don't mean that literally.
Yeah, no, well, it's South Australia, probably. You know.
Tucker is always...
I haven't been to South Australia since the 70s when my friend was murdered. Okay, fuck.
Fuck, can you just talk into this microphone really quickly? I need a sound grab.
Yes.
Tucker was always an enigma. No one knows how he got all this money that he has spent so freely.
Mm.
So that's the mayor of Adelaide, Charles Tucker.
Did we work? Are we going to work out how he got the money?
Oh, we work out how he got the money.
Hey.
Apparently,
he tucked into more than just a few votes.
That's right. Oddfellow. This isn't how he got the money, but apparently he married a woman, but would just never admit.
Which is the only option for a very long time, and thankfully we've moved away from that.
That's exactly right. He married a woman, but would never admit he married her.
Oh.
And made her live in Victoria. While his sister acted as the mayoress.
That's creepy.
Yeah, totally.
That's
creepy.
Weird. That's weird. As so mentioned, he's like, this is my wife and it's his sister.
Yeah, exactly right. Well, I don't know if he was saying
what part of Tasmania was he born?
Port Adelaide, mate. As mentioned, he was in the shipping business and his shipping business did very well.
Oh, well, okay. Well, then. In fact, that explains the money then.
It did a little too well.
Oh, hello.
Turns out Tucker defrauded the customs department.
He was shipping, like, just hashish in boomboxes.
Oh, Reggie! Reggie! I wonder how Reggie's doing. So, he was defrauding the customs department during the 1890s on, like, payable to goods imported by his firm.
Dodgy.
Now, his brother and nephew were also implicated.
Of course, they were a family affair.
The amount involved approached £33,000, which Tucker took about £2,000 a year for more than a decade. He was sentenced to two years imprisonment with hard labour. At the time, it was...
So many of our former mayors have just gone to jail.
I can't wait till in 100 years they're doing a podcast and talking about Sandy. Watch your back, Sandy.
Oh, for sure, she'll be in jail.
He was sentenced to 2 years imprisonment, which at the time, it was one of South Australia's longest criminal trials.
Yeah, right.
There were 97 witnesses and 8,000 exhibits, and the case ran for 31 days. How they got through 8,000 exhibits in 31 days baffles me.
Yeah, that's crazy. But also, to go through all of that for him to only go to jail for 2 years is like remarkable amount of effort.
I'm basically done.
Yeah.
So he later sat on legislative councils.
He later sat on legislative cunts. That's what I heard.
Later sat on legislative councils.
Council, okay. Good.
And was, surprisingly, unseated for bribery in 1899.
So he didn't even learn his lesson.
No, but look, he was unseated in 1899.
But how is he allowed to be sitting on legislative councils when he's been to jail?
So look, he bribed someone, they kicked him off. 3 weeks later, he was re-elected by the people.
Oh, not only did he not learn his lesson, but it didn't matter. Because he was really good-looking, debonair, dapper, a sort of, how did they describe him? A 50-year-old...
A tall and sallow.
Tall and sallow man. Yeah.
Taylor's dummy
sort of man, yeah, that's...
Look, the rest kind of goes on for a bit. A whole bunch of dudes right up until 1893... Yeah. 1983.
When they elected a potted plant. Is that
when so? The Wendy Chapman was the first female Lord Chappers. Mayor of Adelaide.
Chappers.
Then in 1997, we had...
Knows nothing about Wendy Chapman?
Nah.
Why not?
Then
sexist.
I was doing the early one. Which I hate. Then in 1997, we had our second female Lord Mayor.
So hang on.
Jane Lomax Smith.
We had a Lord Mayor very early. Well, early by the standards of... You know, world politics.
That's right. Yep.
Because, you know, at that point, women couldn't even vote in most of the world. Mm. I mean, before the First World War, women couldn't vote in much of the world in, you know.
No, I'm saying 1983.
Oh, sorry. I thought you said 1883. No. I was like, oh, Chappers. She was getting in there.
Nah,
okay.
1983.
So we didn't get a Lord Mayor until a female Lord Mayor until 1983. Okay, that's less impressive. Yeah, sorry, that's a lot less impressive.
Not much about her. Then in 1997, we had a second female Lord Mayor, Jane Lomax Smith, who is legit one of the smartest people in the world.
Yes, I know Jane Lomax Smith. I met her. She gave a talk at my high school when I in year 12 graduated, or there was something she talked at. She gave a presentation. Yep. Seemed like a nice lady.
Very smart, very nice lady. Last three have been Michael Harbison, Stephen Yarwood, and Martin Hazy.
Hazy! Now,
Martin Hazy, get this, was the founder, this is where the joke comes from, at the start of the episode, the founder of YouthWorks.
Yeah, okay.
Fashion chain, which launched in Rundle Mall in 1993, and it was like the dopest shit you could wear in Australia at the time.
YouthWorks. Really?
It was the place to go. They imported from memory, they imported all this stuff like that no one else was selling.
Yeah,
there was no like real youth retailers. There's still like Meyer and David Jones.
Yeah, yeah, but they didn't youth focused.
Yeah, like
product.
Particularly like this 90s American stuff. Like it was the only place to get it.
So you're like you Adidas kicks and your Vans.
Yeah. Like stuff and you couldn't get anywhere else.
And your Nikes.
And your Hurleys and all that kind
all
of
that
gear.
Sort of stuff, Ballboy shoes, Globes.
Yep, that's right. Yep. Built the business into a national chain of clothing, footwear,
Baker
and
skateboard t-shirts.
Lifestyle stores. I'm pretty sure I've seen a picture of you in one of them.
Mate, nothing wrong with a Baker's skateboard t-shirt or a Shorty's t-shirt.
Oh, mate, I was a zero guy.
Oh, okay.
But he sold it in 2005 when it basically just crashed after that.
Yeah. Because the internet came along and people realised they could buy all stuff off the internet.
He knew what he was doing.
Oh.
Also, from literally everything I've heard about Martin Hazy, nice guy.
I only met him for about 30 seconds.
I once saw a Twitter conversation on Twitter.
Okay.
And this woman was like, hey, my car broke down today at the front of Adelaide Oval. This is like tweeting the mayor. She's like, was that you who stopped to push me? And he's like, yeah, I hope you got home okay.
So, that's
like,
awesome.
This woman was just, he's like, oh, pull up. I'll just push
that's
this
woman.
That's
very Adelaide, though, isn't
so,
it?
Yeah, that's very Adelaide.
That's
so
very
Lord
Adelaide.
Mayor,
city of 1.2 million people, but it's Australia's biggest country town.
Rolling up the sleeves, getting the lady home. So good on him. Look, finished up at the job now, but next job might be working for the RAA. Getting people off the street.
Yeah.
So good luck to.
And they pay pretty well, actually. He'd probably get more money working for the RAA than he would as Lord Mayor.
Yep. So good luck to Sandy Verschoor.
Oh, Verschoor. I hope she has a really good.
I think it's up to me and you, Tom, to contact her and say, look, there's one mayor missing.
Yep.
From Town Hall.
Yep.
And that great man and great mayor is Joseph Hall.
Why?
Let's get his picture up.
Why hasn't his picture been?
I think it's because he was a controversial character.
But there's other Lord Mayors that are more controversial.
Absolutely.
There's people that have gone to jail and stuff.
Yep. And this guy just had a bit of psychosis, and they've.
I guess that's the argument we'd make is what's why the stigma.
That's exactly right.
So if he died as a result of alcohol withdrawal, but was the Lord Mayor, surely he should be honoured and recognised for having done that.
Yeah, and look, if they're not going to put his picture up in the main hall, let's get a picture of him on the balcony.
I reckon we should ask him, but I reckon they're going to do bugger all.
And Tom.
And also, can we get a portrait of him?
I looked. I couldn't find anything.
And the portraits go up in the town hall, don't they?
Yeah. All right. You just put a chalk outline.
Well, I've got some, got some connections. This is.
You don't.
This is nonsense.
You don't.
I have some sort of connections at Parliament House.
Oh, here we go.
So let's. I'll pull some strings and I'll see if we can get something happening there. Some traction.
Absolutely. Why isn't Joseph Hall up in the hall?
Yeah.
Enough time has passed.
And let's cry foul, and let's make the point that it's probably because of that stigma.
That's exactly right.
And so let's do the right thing.
Change.org, you can find our petition. Joseph Hall up in the hall. Halls for halls.
Halls for halls, we'll call it, yeah.
And we'll all celebrate with a nice Halls lemonade.
Yes, it's up there. And we'll do a walk, which will be Balls to the Halls, which sounds like Balls to the Walls, but it's like we walk from the Mall's Balls to the Town Hall. To demand that they put him up in the hall.
And then we go to Commode Street where he jumped off the balcony and we all stand there in memory with a couple of those firemen trampolines that they're meant to land on. I got nothing.
Yeah, and
So, Tom, that's the story of Adelaide's early.
I like that. That was good fun.
Mayors.
That was good fun.
That was a long episode. Thanks for hanging by, guys. The Fringe shows, February and March. Get on them. February 21st, yep. February 22nd, and March 16th. Tickets are on sale now.
Yeah, mate.
Get them while they're hot.
And
these shows will sell out. I'm pretty sure these shows will sell out.
And if you see that John Imarsh around, tell him, I'm not going to take any of his shit. And if he's got a bit of lip for me, he better be ready to... To meet the rumble. I don't know what that
is. Fuck. Thank you, Martin Hazy.
Thanks, Martin Hazy. Have a laugh.
Have a lol.
Saddle lol.
Holes for holes.
Holes to the balls. I mean, balls to the holes.
Ah.
We hope you all had a lol. A dad a lol.